morning's scripture is James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much.
Good morning. Well, if I seem a little bit nervous, it's for a good reason. I'm not used to preaching in a church this size. I'm used to preaching in a farm church in the middle of nowhere that took me 45 minutes to find because I got lost, which should have been only a 15-minute drive. And that most of the members are relatives, usually married, and are connected in some way, and usually it's only about 15 people. So if I seem a little nervous, that's why. If you don't know me, my name is Hayden Brill. I'm the new youth intern here. For the next year, I'll be working with the youth group and with the church here. Give you a little bit of background about me. I grew up in the church. My dad was the youth minister at Greenbrier, where I was first part of the youth group. And then we moved up to Denver while my dad went to Bear Valley, and I was part of the youth group up there. And then we moved to Owosso, where I was part of the youth group with Alan Lay. And then I graduated in 2013 from Ulligal High School, and I went to Crowley's Ridge College. It's over in a small town called Paragould. It's up in the northeast corner of Arkansas. And it's a small Christian school, about 250 students maxed out. And I think this year they actually had record attendance, and they don't have any more parking for students. So that's a good thing. But and then this last fall, my now wife and I, Lexi, we went to Oklahoma Christian for a semester, and we ended up having to drop out because of finances and other reasons. I love the Word of God. I was a machinist for the last few months, and I constantly looked for a place where I could preach or be a youth minister at. I love the Word of God with all my heart. And Lexi loves it just as much. Up until the day that we started working for 29th and Yale again, I was the youth intern there for the last 2 summers, except for this past summer. Well, kind of. I worked part-time for them while I was a machinist. But Lexi would constantly look at me and be like, "When are you going to get another youth ministry job? I miss being part of the youth group." So my wife and I, we absolutely love the Word of God, and we hope to share it for the next year with y'all. My lesson this morning is on the power of prayer. James comes up to me and goes, "Are you sure you don't have any PowerPoint?" I was like, "Yeah, I don't have PowerPoint." I think I scared him a little bit when I told him I didn't have PowerPoint. But my lesson is over the power of prayer. Prayer is a very powerful thing. We've all been impacted by prayer in some way or another, whether it be God answering a prayer or God not answering a prayer. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." The King James Version uses the word effectual. I might be saying that wrong. Please excuse me, I'm dyslexic. But it uses the word effectual, and Webster defines it as capable of producing an intended result or having a striking effect. So a prayer that is prayed effectually will have the intent of resulting, producing an intended result or having a striking effect. If we pray in a way that we know it will be answered, it'll have a striking effect in our lives and probably in others. I know a family that had a son. The son was born 2.5 months premature. He was born in the middle of the night. His umbilical cord was wrapped around his neck. His brain was halfway developed. Whenever he was born, he was completely black because of the lack of oxygen. They rushed him to the children's hospital, and the doctors told the parents that they didn't know what this could affect. They told the family, he may not be able to walk, he may not be able to talk, he may not be able to see, hear, speak, he may not be able to do anything. We don't know what this will affect him or how this will affect him. So for the next 2 weeks, the parents and the family members stayed near to the child and prayed. They constantly prayed for God to heal their son. 2 weeks later, the doctors come in after doing some tests on the child. Doctor walks in, looks at the father and goes, "You must be a praying family because your son is completely healthy. He is a perfect child other than being small." My dad looks at him and goes, "That's all we've been doing. I was born 2.5 months premature. Doctors didn't know what would be wrong with me. Thankfully, nothing is, except for my dad will look at you and be like, no, something's still off." And I'm pretty sure my wife is starting to conclude to that as well. But for those 2 weeks, my family did not stop praying. I've got pictures of family members with their hand in the incubator praying on me. Prayer is a very powerful thing. Extremely powerful. But the question is, how are we to pray? How are we to pray to God? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. Matthew 21, verse 22. I told the kids this morning in class, I'm a firm believer in just reading sentences out of the Bible. I don't read chapters and verses. I read sentences and paragraphs and phrases. So I want to look at this sentence. "And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Now, being dyslexic, I never was very good at English or punctuation or grammar. But one thing I do remember is that if there's a comma, you pause. Well, there's two commas in this sentence, right around believing. What do most people do when they want to emphasize something? They pause right before something and right after it to give it emphasis, to emphasize on something. God is emphasizing on the word believe. We have to pray in a way that we believe that we will receive. Fun fact, did you know that if a sports team does not believe that they are going to win, 75% of those teams do not succeed? The 25% are usually the teams that are like Union and can outpower anybody. But you get a team, and they go up against a school the size of Union, and they believe that they're going to win, even if the odds might not be in their favor, if they believe they're going to win, chances are they're actually going to win that game. Believing in something is also very powerful. If my family didn't believe that I would be healed, then I most certainly would not have been healed. I would not be up here today to give you this message. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not act like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. So how are we to pray? We are to pray in a believing way. Secondly, we are to pray in secret. We are not to pray to be seen by men. Now, I'm not saying don't pray at the dinner table, in public, at a restaurant. I encourage you to do that. Inspire others to do it. Lexi and I, we pray before every meal, wherever we are. She corrects me. Sometimes I start to put that first chip in my mouth when we're at a restaurant or that first roll, and she slaps my hand and goes, "Hey." But God wants us to talk to Him in a personal way. He wants to know our needs. He wants to know our cares, what our wants are. You don't go to your friends and talk about something very personal in public, do you? You don't talk about something that should be discussed between the two of you in Walmart where others can hear. You talk about it alone. God wants you to talk to Him in a personal way. And thirdly, we're to pray without repetition. In high school, I had a girlfriend, and her dad would pray the same prayer every meal before we ate. I used to be able to quote it word for word, but I've not preached a sermon, I've not thought about it in a long time. But he would say the same prayer every time without changing it. It lost its meaning. He was just saying it because that's what he was supposed to do. It didn't have any meaning behind it. What's the point of thanking someone for something if you don't mean it? We tell our kids to say thank you and to mean it. Do we mean it when we pray and thank God for our food and for our housing and our clothing? He wants us to be specific in the way that we pray to Him. During Thanksgiving, there's usually a family somewhere that'll post something on Facebook or some social media about they let a child lead the Thanksgiving prayer. And they always say that the kid was looking up at the table going, "God, thank you for the corn. Thank you for the mashed potatoes. Thank you for the green beans. Thank you for the turkey." And they name everything on the table. God wants us to pray like that. He wants us to be so specific in our prayers that we leave out no details. He wants us to be so personal that we don't leave anything out. If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 21 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 21. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' it will happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." If we just have faith, we can move mountains. My parents and my family had faith, and they moved a mountain in my life. They moved a mountain in their life. Let's look at Matthew 17, verse 20 as well. Matthew chapter 17. In verse 20. And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." I had never seen a mustard seed before until I found a necklace, and I got it for Lexi, and it had that verse on it. And I give it to her as a present. She goes, "Oh, that's cool. It has a mustard seed in it." It was so small, I missed it. I didn't notice it was there until she said something about it. It's so small. But God says if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, nothing is impossible for us. Even with faith that is extremely small, great prayers can be answered. But God wants us to have enough faith to know that we know He will take care of us. God will take care of us in any way. It may not seem like it at the moment, but He will always take care of us. If we look back in time, we can always see the handiwork of God in our lives. If you're going through a struggle in your life and you need help with the church, or you don't see the work of God in your life and you don't see how this is going to be helpful in what you're going through right now, I encourage you to come as we stand and sing.